lovelies, before we get started today, I just wanted to say a quick, or have a quick announcement, make a quick announcement. I think that's what I was trying to say. I want to make a quick announcement, Carly. It is Listener Request Month, which means this is the month for you guys. It's a month for you to ask us questions, to request films for us to discuss, all those good things. So as much interaction, emails, phone calls, all that good stuff is super welcome always, but especially welcome this month. So feel free to give us a call, give us a shout out, do whatever you want. It's 323-657-3910 to leave us a voice message, which we might play on the air, or you can email us at finalgirlshorrorcast, all one word, at gmail.com. Okay, on with the show.
You're listening to the Modern Horrors
Podcast Network. Welcome to the 75th episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Well, Carly, it is Listener Request Month.
Woo!
It is the month that we most look forward to, I think, all year.
No picking. We don't have to pick.
I love Listener Request Month so, so, so much.
Samesies.
And to celebrate today, we are going to play a small drinking game during our episode, where anytime anyone says the magic word, we will take a drink, a sip of our delicious wine. So,
yep.
What's today's magic word, Carly?
Ravenous.
Ooh.
Nope.
Did you mess up drinking?
I was trying to get mine to clink like yours.
Oh. Yeah, I have very long nails, so it makes a very beautiful sound.
Not mine. Mine's really upsetting.
No. Well, it's okay. I'll make the sound effects for the episode today.
Wonderful. Thank you. I'm a failure.
So, drink again. Because it's Listener Request Month, we are doing films that you guys requested. So you'll notice at the beginning of each segment, we will have... one of our listeners introduced the episode and tell us why they picked it. Today, we're going to be talking about two films by the same title, but two very different films. 1999's Ravenous and 2017's Ravenous. For you new listeners, we are a spoiler-heavy podcast, so continue at your own risk. 1999's Ravenous is available to rent on VOD, and 2017's Ravenous is currently streaming on Netflix. I think 1999's Ravenous is about $2.99 or $3.99, depending on where you rent it from. I prefer to use Amazon. It was a little bit more expensive there, but I mean, whatever. It's just easier for me, so I just use that.
Yeah, me too. In general.
In general. But before we jump into these films, let's get started with a segment we like to call...
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is A House with a Clock in Its Walls.
Nailed it.
We had a lot of trouble saying that. You know what I just realized is we said, what? Before we get into this, I said Ravenous about 7 times, so we both have to drink quite
a bit. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. The House with a Clock in Its Walls. There's an L in that word. Clock. There's a clock in the walls, Carly. A clock.
I read it wrong.
Not
the
a
first
cock.
Time I saw it. I was like, did Amy choose a porn trailer? The house with the cock in its walls. I'm sorry, come again.
It's got a bad choice of words there.
Austin Powers joke.
Anyone? With a September 21st release date, it's directed by Mr. Eli Roth and written by, it's based on the novel by John Bellairs and screenplay written by Eric Kripke. The IMDb summary is, a young orphan named Louis Barneveld aids his magical uncle in locating a clock with the power to bring about the end of the world.
Dun, dun, dun.
This is not a typical Eli Roth film.
I was going to say, while I was watching it, I was like, oh, this is like the first Eli Roth trailer I've ever watched that made me want to watch the movie. Is that rude?
Well, I mean, you're just not an Eli Roth fan, and that's okay.
And I also love Cate Blanchett.
Yeah.
And Jack Black.
Jack Black's fine. I like Cate Blanchett a lot. This is very different for Eli Roth. This is like, it's very child centric.
It's magical.
It's very magical.
I love magic, so we'll see movies with magic.
There is a very strong, like, mystery, fantasy vibe here.
It feels very like Halloween Town, or like, I mean, it's coming out around like in September, so I guess that makes sense that it's kind of like pre-Halloween kids movie.
Yeah.
In a good way, not in a bad way.
Yeah. I don't know how horror this is really going to be. Maybe horror for children, you know.
I think horror fantasy is like fair.
Yeah. It looks beautiful. It looks fantastic.
It really does.
To see Eli Roth kind of spread his wings
step out
a little
of his
bit.
Wheelhouse. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know that he just did Death Wish, which a lot of people seem to like. I don't know that I really care to see it because I'm a huge Charles Bronson fan. I just like to stick to the originals. But I mean, if other people are enjoying it, that's great. Carly and I aren't typically Eli Roth fans, but I'm kind of digging this one.
I'll see it.
I'm going to see it. It's going to happen.
Yeah. And then we'll talk about it.
And then we will talk about it.
We'll fill you in.
Because that's what we do here at Final Girls Horrorcast. Because we are ravenous for horror.
Hey, Amy and Carly. It's Elizabeth. My pick is Ravenous, the cannibal movie from 1999. I absolutely love this oddball gem, from its darkly comic tone to its off-kilter music. It's surprising for sure, but I would love to hear your thoughts, even if you totally hate it. Thanks.
Let's jump into our first movie of the day, evening, wherever you are listening to this, whenever even. 1999's Ravenous, directed by Antonia Bird, written by Ted Griffin of Ocean's 11 and Matchstick Men fame. The IMDb summary is, in a remote military outpost in the 19th century, Captain John Boyd and his regiment embark on a rescue mission, which takes a dark turn when they are ambushed by a sadistic cannibal. Okay, I'm going to tell my trailer story.
Yeah.
So I was going to watch this movie one night on Vudu.
Wait, what movie is it?
This would be the movie Ravenous.
Okay, I just wondering. Cheers. Thanks.
And weirdly enough, like, you can't rent Ravenous. through Vudu on Apple TV for some reason, but they had the trailer, so I was like, okay, like, I'm gonna check out the trailer, see what I'm getting myself into. And it was like the weirdest trailer ever. It was like 2 minutes, and it was like, Captain John Boyd is a this isn't what it said, by the way, but it was like
verbatim.
But it, like, literally with the trailer voice made it sound like a weird 90s adventure comedy. And I was just like, am I gonna rent the right movie? Like, I have to wait. It was kind of late, and Amy goes to bed way earlier than I do. So I was like, I'm gonna have to, like, watch both these movies in one night, because, like, I don't know if this is the right movie. But it was like, Captain John Boyd is like out of luck, and he's blah blah blah. And I was just like, what am I watching? It was like the weirdest trailer I've ever seen.
This movie has a little bit of an identity crisis.
Yeah.
It's
the next day.
Quite
I send
sure.
it to Amy, and she's like, this is a joke trailer.
I thought
Did
it
you read?
Was.
And I was like, no, it's legitimately the real trailer.
Okay, it's also the 90s, though. Like, voiceovers in trailers was, like, a thing that happened often for
I'm not even
all
bummed
kinds
about
movies.
That, but, like, what? It even, I don't know, like, maybe, this movie was weird. I feel like the trailer kind of set it up perfectly, though. Like, while I was watching it, I was like, the trailer's not seeming so far off now, is it? Because it sure felt so bizarre. The music? Can we talk about the music?
We can, but let's wait before we get there. Because I want to know what if you enjoyed it or not. Did you like this movie?
I felt confused the entire time.
You felt so confused that you were unable to develop an opinion on if you enjoyed it or not.
I would not watch it again.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I very much enjoyed it.
Really? I don't know why. And I don't know if it's because, like, the cannibal guy is Rumpelstiltskin in Once Upon a Time, but, like, I couldn't disconnect that. And, like,
There's some good acting here, though.
I'm not denying that, because Guy Pearce obviously is, like, a fantastic actor. David Arquette's character was weird the whole time.
His characters are always weird, though.
I was going to say, which is normal. Yeah. Whatever. Deputy Dewey is a boss.
He is.
Maybe I would watch it again, especially after this show, after, like, I'm wasted off of this glass of wine. It might make sense more. But, like, it was just such... It was a roller coaster, I felt like. Like, sometimes, like, it was really gory in a good way, but sometimes it was, like, really campy and, like, weird jokes, and then other times it was just, like, serious, and then the end was really bizarre. The music, I was just like, what am I watching? It was just, it was, like, there was a lot of things going on.
It was it felt like there was a lot of people making executive decisions. And they didn't all have the same vision. So, but that also kind of adds to the charm of it. There's really weird music. The dialogue is very strange because it feels very current, but it takes place in the 1840s. So I don't really know how that works. Like, everyone talks like totally normal, like, hey, Carly, what's up? You know, okay, they don't say what's up, but I mean, they might as well have. Because it doesn't feel of the time. I mean, other than the wardrobe and, like, the lack of electricity, like, I'm not really sure why it needed to take place during the Mexican-American War.
I think you're right when you say that this movie has a bit of an identity crisis.
It does. But I think that makes it charming. I think that if it took itself too seriously, it would have been... not as strong of a film. I think because it's a little bit quirky, it works better because it's not a fully serious film, but it's dealing with very serious things.
Is it though? Because I didn't really feel that way. Like, obviously cannibalism isn't like a light matter, but it's also, I don't know, it was cannibalism, but it also was like a little bit of like vampirism, because it's like if you're on the verge of death and you eat human meat, it'll heal you and like bring you back to life, essentially.
It felt very much like a vampire movie. It was very vampire, but with cannibalism. Because
you had like Rumpelstiltskin and he was like the number one vampire. And then there was just like Guy Pearce, who was like, I don't want to eat meat. He was like, Angel, I'm going to survive off of... animals.
He was a little bit like Angel.
Yeah, like I'm gonna bear trap myself to you and not eat you to survive, which was weird. I knew this was gonna be fun to talk about, though.
I think it's really fun, and it definitely has an identity crisis, but that just makes it better. I think, yeah, the music is fully bizarre. I can't quite grasp what they're trying to do here.
I was like, it's like I'm sitting at my Casio keyboard, like, playing you a ditty.
It kind of felt like there was definitely parts where it sounded like Napoleon Dynamite a little bit, with, like, the keyboards. Like, yes. There was a part where I was like, oh, this is the song from Napoleon Dynamite. I know this one.
And it kept on coming in really inappropriate parts.
But then there'd be the Napoleon Dynamite ditty, and then there'd be like a really serious like other song happening overlapping it, and none of them quite worked, and the songs were really overpowering and really took you out of everything. So like even at the beginning, the song at the very beginning, I was just like, this is annoying. This is an annoying song, and it does not fit anything happening. But as the film went on, I came to like really like wait. I was just waiting for the music to come back because I wanted to see what else they were going to try with the music. It was just very creative in what they were doing. I'm not saying it worked, but I enjoyed how creative it was. Like, I enjoyed the choices they made, even though they were obviously the wrong choices, which is a strange thing to say. And that's very not like me. Usually I'm the first one to point out shitty decisions. But I think because they were so creative, that was like, at least they're trying something different. At least they're like fucking sticking to their guns. You know, they're just trying whatever they want. And I can respect that.
I can see that.
Apparently, the music is by Foster's Social Orchestra.
Orchestra is a loosely used term.
Yeah, but I think it's basically artists that aren't necessarily musicians performing music. So it's like they're not trained musicians, they're just performing the music the way, I don't know. It's just a very interesting way to create music to begin with. So I
mean,
it's kind of cool.
It's more of an interesting choice to choose that for your film.
Yeah.
That's like this.
But this isn't quite it's not funny. This isn't a fun. I mean, there's nothing.
I thought it was funny.
Did you? What did you think was funny about it?
I don't know. It was just silly. And like, there was just like a lot of weird yelling. Like, they cut to that one guy when he's like in the river and he's just like screaming when they're introducing everybody. And then David Arquette's just like high all the time laughing. And then like, there's that one guy. Is it General Slauson? Maybe? Jeffrey. No.
Jeffrey Colonel Jones?
Hart? The Colonel. Yeah. Fuck when him. He comes in and he's like making weird jokes. I don't know. I felt like this was like really lighthearted for the subject matter. And it just does a lot of flip-flopping, I felt like.
I mean, I thought there was like a humorous aspect to it, but I never laughed or thought anything was particularly funny. I think like, I don't know. I just thought the characters were weird because they were all lumped together. They're basically the Island of Misfit Toys, but, you know, soldiers. You know, it's like, here's all our rejects, let's throw them all in this isolated area. And I just thought that their quirkiness just added to that misfit feel to this crew surviving in the wilderness in California. I don't know. I guess I just didn't really find humor in it. There was definitely some creepiness, I think.
I definitely think that I did not take after seeing the trailer, not just the 2-minute one, but also I looked at the 30-second ones because I wanted to see if it like portrayed, because like IMDb does market this movie as a straight up horror movie, which I didn't really get any of. Like, I was never like scared at all, or I would never felt like, I don't know, like, anyway, but I don't know, I kind of went into it expecting the movie that I saw in the trailer. I guess
I think Colonel Ives was creepy. I don't know that I was scared by him, but I think that he had some nice creepy dialogue and had a very alluring way of speaking to people. I was like constantly like, I think that I would join him. Like, I think I'm very susceptible to like being persuaded by intelligent conversations. Like,
Rumpelstiltskin is very persuasive.
I just feel like I would totally be like, you know what? I think you're right. I think cannibalism's the way to go here. This sounds wonderful. Let's do it. and I think that's why it has such a strong vampire feel, is because it's kind of alluring. Like, you become stronger and you can heal quickly. And, you know, I was kind of waiting for this Wendigo creature to appear, which never really did. I'm guessing that this film just didn't have the budget to do any kind of like creature design.
I want to know what the original ending was supposed to be.
You don't think this was the original ending?
No, it said that the original ending was scrapped in favor of the two dudes just beating the hell out of each other. So the end fight was made up by Guy Pearce and Robert Carlyle.
I enjoyed that. I enjoyed them fighting each other and their giant bear trap death.
So funny.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird one. It's a weird one, but I didn't hate it, and I think I would watch it again.
I didn't hate it. It was intriguing.
It was I think it was a good choice for us to watch for.
I never would have watched this movie otherwise. So I'm glad I watched it for sure. Like, I appreciate it.
I definitely appreciate it. I liked it. Thank you, Elizabeth, for the suggestion here.
Definitely a fun movie to talk about.
Yeah. And to watch. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I'm not going to lie, even though Jeffrey Jones is in it, and fuck that guy.
The trailer is just so good.
Huh?
I said the trailer is just so good.
The trailer is strange. We should post a link for that really weird trailer.
Captain John Boyd is down on his luck. I don't know if that's what it says, but that's what I keep hearing in my head whenever I think about the trailer.
That at all. I'm pretty sure that's not a thing.
Oh, it makes me laugh. I was also confused by the beginning, though. And this is where I feel like it definitely kind of proves that maybe this was supposed to end differently. Because in the beginning, it's like he's having flashbacks of the cannibal things. But then he dies at the end.
I don't know what you mean. Like, you totally lost me there.
Like, at the very beginning, when he's, like, in the thing and, like, everybody's eating their food, and he's, like...
He wasn't having flashbacks to cannibalism. He was having flashbacks to being... having a bunch of dead bodies piled on top of him and seeing a bunch of people dying.
Oh. It's like... I was, like...
It's PTSD, girl.
I was, like, oh, is this, like, a flashback?
No!
Okay. Well, then, that makes sense.
He just has PTSD.
Okay.
Ravenous.
Hey, this is Sam Spade, and I was going to request the movie Ravenous on Netflix. It's not the 1999 version. It's a newer version. It's a foreign language film, and I haven't seen a lot said about it, and I haven't seen a lot of people talk about it. I haven't seen it covered on any other horror podcasts, so I figured I would give that a go. Hope you like it.
Okay. I'm ravenous to talk about this next film, which is Ravenous from 2017.
She wants to finish that wine.
Written and directed by Robin Aubert. The IMDb summary is, in a small remote village in upstate Quebec. Sorry, let me try this again. My nose is itchy.
Do-over.
In a small remote village in upstate Quebec, things have changed. Locals are not the same anymore. Their bodies are breaking down and they have turned against their loved ones. A handful of survivors goes into hiding into the woods looking for others like them. So this is a new 2017 release from Netflix. It's a Canadian film, French-Canadian film. The French title is La Femme, which is, excuse my terrible French, which translates into The Starving, which I think would have been a good title for it.
Same.
But Ravenous, I guess, is the same thing, I guess. It is a zombie film. I mean, that's really all it is. How did you feel about this one?
I enjoyed it. I did laugh out loud at this one. Not like multiple times. It was really one time. And it was when the chick shoots the guy in the field. When they're like walking.
To elaborate?
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of shooting in the field. It's basically all shooting in fields.
After chick learns how to shoot, and then like the guy just who keeps on like popping up at their truck and scaring them, like jumps out to scare them. And then she just like shoots him in the chest. I laughed. Because he shouldn't be scaring people for no reason.
Wow. That's heartless, Carly.
I was like,
I laughed at the masturbation joke. That's about it.
I didn't laugh at any of the jokes, but the last one where he talks about, where he's like, your finger's broken.
Yeah.
I was like, that was nicely played, man. Nicely played.
So this movie is not anything new. It's
It's basically like the first two seasons of Walking Dead in a movie.
I mean, we have, so at first we just have like a bunch of different things happening. It's just cutting from different storylines. And I originally thought, is this just going to be a bunch of little mini stories? Because that's kind of cool. But no, they merge. I really just thought it was going to be a bunch of random things, which I thought would have been different and interesting. This was just really like it, all the stories merged, which is fine. They did a nice job. This is a perfectly good film. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just nothing special at this point. Unfortunately, it's just been done so many times. There's very few new and interesting approaches here.
Did they explain the, like, random things?
No.
Okay. Because I was like, did I miss something? Was I just not paying attention enough?
No, and we can talk about that. I have some ideas, but they kind of left that up to the viewer. I mean, it's a good movie. It's a good movie. There's nothing wrong with it. It's perfectly fine. It's just
it's
not...
well done. It's well acted. Yeah. All of the characters were fine.
I'm not excited about it, and I was honestly pretty bored. Just because there's not, it's just this. The zombies,
I liked it fine.
The zombies were pretty cool because they ran and yelled as they were attacking you, which was a little different. I thought that was a little bit scarier than, you know, the regular walking zombies. A running, screaming zombie is slightly more frightening to me. These zombies...
Oh, absolutely. I'll never forget when I first saw the, like, the first 10 minutes of, like, The Walking Dead was, like, debut... Or not The Walking Dead.
28
Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, okay.
The, like, remake.
Yeah.
I forget what show it was during, but they were like, now a special sneak peek of the first 10 minutes of Dawn of the Dead. And I, like, watching, like, that little girl, like, jump up and then just, like, take off at the car. I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be so good. I do like that new transition of the running zombie.
I'm okay with running zombies.
Running screaming zombies is even scarier.
Yeah. Running screaming zombies are frightening. They're scary in a different way. And these zombies are smart. They attack. They plan.
Yeah.
They
hide when they were like all hiding in the woods and like velociraptors. And then like one of them screams and they like all emerge from the foliage.
Yeah. I really liked
that shot. Was really cool.
The zombie mother and her zombie children just like standing, holding hands and staring out into the road. Very creepy. Enjoyed
that. One
that.
Zombie sitting there, like, making the baby doll cry.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not, they're still, they act a little bit more human than zombies typically do. It's like a mix between Return of the Living Dead and 28 Days Later.
Sure.
You know? I guess that's the best I can come up with. They also do the strange thing, as Carly was referencing earlier, where they take objects and stack them into piles. And there's several times we see these open fields with these objects just stacked sky high and different objects. One of them was like furniture. One of them was only chairs. There's at the end, you see one
like children's toys.
And they don't explain it, but you just see the zombies kind of just hanging out next to them, staring at it. I mean, they could be saying a lot of things here. Like, they don't explain it, and it makes sense that they don't explain it, because, you know, no one knows. No one would know why they would do that. It could be a comment on, you know, people being obsessed with things in our culture and worshiping them and becoming mindless zombies. It could be as simple as that. It could be, you know, this is familiar to them, and they're just kind of moving with the courses. It, you know, could kind of be like a Dawn of the Dead thing where, you know, is that the mall one? I always get them confused.
Yeah, Dawn's the mall one.
Yeah, it's like it could be a Dawn of the Dead thing where, you know, where they go to the mall because it's familiar. You know, it could be a lot of different things where they're just kind of going with the motions. I don't really know. I don't know why they do that. It could even be like there's, you know, aliens who have created these zombies and they're creating these markers. I mean, it could be anything. They don't explain it. We don't know why they're doing this.
Yeah. Well, and like, how does that one guy just like have no idea what's going on?
What? Oh, he's mentally ill. They explained that.
Oh, well, I guess there was
that's why I thought it was fucked up that you laughed when he died.
Didn't know that. I wasn't paying attention. Now I feel like a dick.
I was like, that's messed up, Carly. You like it when mentally ill people get shot?
I didn't know. I really didn't know. Like, I was just
when he surprises them the first time, there's this mentally ill man and he's in his military costume and he pops up every once in a while and scares everybody and then laughs and walks away. The bald guy explains that he always thinks he's coming home from the war and he's never been in the war. Yeah, he's just like not mentally there. He's just like the town crazy. And
he was made sense enough to like be walking out in the open and not get bit. Like he was.
Yeah, but he was also did you notice like how the zombies kind of didn't really attack you if you were just standing there being dumb? Like maybe they thought he was one of them.
Oh, I thought it was like only if you hadn't been bit, because like that one,
the little girl was standing there and they didn't attack her.
But no, because she looked at her and then she turned around and then she looked back at her again. But it was the guy who had been bit. So I thought it was because like they had sensed that he'd like already been bit. And so that's why she didn't pay attention the second time.
She didn't like start screaming and chasing after her right away.
Not right away. I don't know.
I mean, they don't explain anything, so it doesn't fucking matter. Like, we can talk about it all we want, but
I'm fine with it either way.
It doesn't fucking matter. Like, I'm not, I don't know. This isn't my favorite movie. I won't watch it again. There's nothing wrong with it. If you like zombie movies and you like seeing this type of thing, like, go for it. I'm just over the zombie thing. Unless it's really new and different, I'm over it. Like, I just don't care. I don't care about the story.
It's a fine movie. If like you need to see all the zombie movies, then it's a fine watch.
And like I said, there's nothing wrong with it. I just don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. If someone told me they loved this film, I would understand. It's not, like I said, it's not a bad movie. I was bored. It was fine. You know what I would have liked more of were the older ladies. I loved that side plot and they showed very little of them.
I love those ladies too. I was like, why don't you just take the river? Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that's like, if it's going to take a day longer, but we're all going to arrive intact, I'd rather do that.
I named the storylines before they merged, and I noticed that they all sounded like really good band names. Would you like me to share?
Yes.
Okay, so the first one was Baldy and the Accordion Lady.
Love it.
The second one was boring. It was just Old Man and Kiddo.
Fair enough.
And then the third one was Lonely Mom and the Golden Girls.
I want to be a part of that band.
Lonely Mom and the Golden Girls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what we'd sound like, but I'm in.
A lot of wicker furniture being like scraped on by spatulas.
It's true.
That's what I imagine the Golden Girls play instruments playing. They're ravenously playing their furniture. Ooh, toys.
See where you did.
Yeah.
Grabbing it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But yeah, I don't really have anything else to say about this. It was fine.
It was fine. It was just fine. But thank you, Sam S., for recommending it and asking us to watch. I'm glad I saw it. I know. Same. People have been talking about it. I understand why. I think it's a perfectly fine zombie film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Recommend it to zombie film enthusiasts.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we have received some listener questions. We hope to get more this month, but let's make our way through some of these, Carly.
All right. So this is a little segment that we like to call Amy and Carly guilt their listeners into asking them questions.
Yep. That's what I named it, because that's basically what I did all day. It's just guilted everyone into asking questions.
Yeah. All right.
That's what I do.
So we're going to start with MJ Hogan.
Who asked us a bunch of questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mike.
So what's your favorite non-horror movie or even TV show except Gilmore Girls? We all know you love Double G.
Fact.
My favorite movie in general is Princess Bride.
Yeah. That's it? That's all you're going to say?
Oh, we have to keep going?
I mean, do you want to talk about more things other than your one favorite movie?
That's the question. My favorite TV show... My favorite TV show, I don't know. I watch a lot of, I will randomly put on How I Met Your Mother and just like do house chores. I just like love having that show in the background. I've seen the entire series of Sex and the City multiple times. And Seinfeld.
Mm. All right. I don't know that I have a favorite non-horror movie. I have a lot of favorite non-horror movies, I guess. I really like Heather's Valley Girl is one of my guilty pleasures. Love Valley Girl a lot. I don't know. I like a lot of movies. I'm having trouble, like, thinking of any, really. I mean... I like a lot of, like, indie movies. I really love the movie Ghost World. I think that movie is really fun. That was my favorite in high school, and I just basically just watched that on repeat over and over again. I really wanted to be Thora Birch in high school.
Love it.
Yeah. I worked at a video store when I was in high school, so I just watched a lot of indie movies. I was really into, like, Amelie and, like, Ghost World. And I really like old school comedies. I love The Jerk. The Jerk is one of my favorite comedies.
So good.
I don't know. I really like Royal Tenenbaums. I think the Royal Tenenbaums is a really fantastic film. I don't know. I like a lot of things. Those are just the few that are coming to mind, I guess, right now. And TV shows... I mean, obviously, besides Gilmore Girls, I love Game of Thrones.
Oh, same.
I'm, like, super into Game of Thrones. I could just watch Game of Thrones over and over and over again. I'm way too obsessed with The Office. Like, I've seen it so many times that I know almost every episode by heart.
I love that show, too. It's, like, it just can make you laugh. It can make you cry. It makes you have all the feels.
It's just an easy show to watch. I like easy to watch TV shows. I don't like anything too heavy. I don't really watch a lot of horror TV shows. I like a lot of comedy. I like fantasy. I like the new Westworld a lot. I like a lot of HBO shows, actually.
I love Westworld.
About it.
I kind of forgot about it because I haven't watched it in a while, obviously, but...
You know, there's this new TV show on Netflix that I watched in like 2 days. And it's not a good show, but it's a cooking show. It's called, Nailed It. Yeah. And it's basically the best thing ever. Did you watch it, Carly?
I haven't. I've been meaning to watch it. I feel like I've been watching so many other things. I watch a lot of Project Runway, I feel like. Or like Face Off. I love Face Off.
I like Face Off, but I'm not super into like reality TV shows. But Nailed It is hilarious because it's people who are like, mediocre bakers, like home bakers, being forced to make these really difficult things. It's just hilarious because they fail so badly, and it's really fun to watch people fail. Okay, he also asked, how did you become so awesome? Which, I mean, it's a lifestyle.
Amy rubs off on me. She makes me cooler than I am.
Wow. I don't think that I'm very cool, but appreciate you saying that. And then follow-up question, what horror scene made you feel the queasiest or almost made you look away? Carly, I know for you that would be any animal death or abuse scene, but please pick another one.
Okay, this is actually pretty easy for me. I hate, like, I always cringe in movies when anything happens to the Achilles tendon. Mm-hmm. It makes like my whole body like tense up. I remember in, I don't remember what the movie was called, but it was one of the...
was it Ravenous?
It was not, but let's cheers to that. Ooh, I need to stop putting my wine down, apparently. It was one of those like Horror Fest 8 films after dark series that they did like forever ago. And it was like they like pushed a pole, like a hollow pole in between, like into somebody's heels, not the heels, but like right on the other side of the Achilles tendon, and then like pushed the bone cartilage out of one side of it. And that one made me like, tense up. Any slight cutting of the Achilles tendon totally freaks me out.
I don't know. I guess I have a couple. There's a scene in... I just did a Grudge voice. Did you hear that? I didn't mean to do that. There's a scene in Antichrist that maybe we'll be talking about sooner than later, so I won't get too into it, but if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about, that I definitely had to leave the room, and like I definitely left the room. There's a also Dead Alive, I think. It reaches a level of gore that I sometimes have trouble with. I really love that movie, but it gets so messy.
It does get very messy. Is a great way to describe it. It definitely gets messy.
It gets so messy, and it's so messy for so long that it does get to a point where I feel like it's almost a little too much for me. It's been a long time since I've seen that, and it was definitely before I was watching multiple horror movies a week, so maybe I'd be slightly more desensitized to it. But I remember when I saw it in college, having a moment of, okay, I think that's enough gore for me. I think that was the only time I ever really felt like, okay, that's enough. Otherwise, it's like, you know, like rape stuff, I'm not into it. That makes me always like look away or leave the room or not be comfortable continuing. But in terms of gore and discomfort otherwise, it's mostly those types of things. So that's it for that question. Then we got a Mi Corazon Mi Amor, who says, why no Carly Corgi pics? Why no Corgi sticker? So
why is there no Corgi sticker? Can someone design us a Corgi sticker?
I would love a Corgi sticker.
Please.
Like you with your Corgi and me with my kitty cat.
Oh my God. That would be so cute. She brings up a great point.
Also, Carly, you never post pictures of your dogs. I know what Leia looks like because I see her all the time. But like,
do I really never do?
You never, ever post pictures of your dogs. Wow, you really need to work on that.
I do.
Yeah. You should do that more.
I was looking at my my Facebook on this day like situation, mm-hmm. and I totally reposted. I'll show you. But as we all know, if we follow Mr. Stephen King, he has a corgi named Molly, and Molly looks very similar to my Leia Bean, and he calls her the thing of evil, and he totally... had this, I don't know if like it was like a fan drawing, but like someone painted, I can't see if I can show, like, where, here we go. Someone painted this.
Oh, she does look like Leia.
Right? But like, yeah. look at the hand that's like chopped off.
I can't
off.
Really see it. It's too small.
Oh, make me bigger.
Oh, there you are. Oh, she's got a severed hand, and in blood it says the thing of evil.
It's so cute. I literally follow Stephen King just because of his corgi pictures. But that is a great point. We should definitely have a corgi sticker, and I will definitely be posting. I'll just like start spamming pictures of my dogs.
Nice. Do it.
Thank you.
Okay. And then we have Tommy B, who says, what's the movie that you watch the most? I can always stand to rewatch Return of the Living Dead.
Movie in general, I watch... I literally watch The Mummy and The Mummy Returns a ton. Like, I'm pretty sure one of those movies is, like, usually in my DVD player. Horror-wise, probably any of the Scream movies.
Right. I could always watch Scream. Yeah,
like, I'm always down. If I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to watch, I'll, like, throw that on. I love, and also, like, Star Wars. I don't know. There's a lot of things. I'm a creature of habit, and so I can literally watch movies, like, on repeat. But definitely Mummy, Mummy 2, any of the Screams, any Star Wars. I don't know. I'm really easy to please.
I could do that with Evil Dead. I could watch Evil Dead a lot.
Yeah.
I could watch Return of the Living Dead a lot. I love Return of the Living Dead. Really, like, any 80s horror film, just always just constant. I just love all of them.
Yeah, they're so good. And they're easy watches. Like,
yeah.
Anything that's just like, I don't know, just sucks you in. And I'm like, yeah, it's just enjoyable. I can watch a lot of things.
Night of the Creeps. I can always rewatch mm-hmm. Night of the Creeps. That's a really fun one to rewatch. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot. I enjoy all of those.
This isn't a movie, but I rewatch Twilight Zone episodes a lot.
Yeah. We were going to do a Twilight Zone month, and we just never did.
I don't remember what happened.
I don't either.
but I really love Twilight Zone.
Maybe we'll still do that sometime.
We should, because I would love that. It's Carly Request Month.
I think it was because I was having trouble coming up with, like, some of my favorites, because I'm not I don't rewatch them as often as you, so, like,
I think I, like, fall asleep to them almost every night.
Yeah, I don't do that, so I don't know.
Get on my level, Amy. Just kidding.
A lot of them are very long and kind of slow. I mean,
they're all, like, 30 minutes.
No, they're, some of the early ones are, like, an hour long.
Maybe that's true.
Yeah.
I don't even notice, because I just, like, love them so much.
I think I was starting from the beginning, and maybe I need to, like, watch other seasons.
Some of the, like, the first season ones are, like, my favorite ones. My favorite one, I think, is in season 5, though. We can talk to that about that later, though.
We can. We can talk about that later. So let's talk about some of the stuff we have coming up, because we have a really fun month set for you, but we also have some other fun stuff coming up. Because in April, Carly and I are going to Monsterpalooza, and we're going to be doing a lot of live streaming for you guys then. So be sure to follow us on social media if you don't already, so you can check out what we're doing.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of fun stuff there. Try and get some pictures with some celebrities. Maybe some Kane Hodder, some. I'm really excited because Fairuza Balk is going to be there, and I just love her. Love her.
Same. What's not to love?
Yeah. And then we have been in talks with Courtney Palm, also actress Courtney Palm. So she'll be coming on the show likely in May, early May sometime. Hopefully, if you don't know Courtney Palm, she is from Zombievers, Final Girl's favorite. Zombievers.
Yeah, I was gonna say a Final Girl's favorite for sure.
It really is a Final Girl's favorite, and she's also in the new Death House movie, so she'll be coming on to talk about that a little bit and just to hang out with us, which will be fun. We're looking forward to that. What else? Oh, there's a new bracket up for Modern Horrors. We decided to join the bracket game. We know that horror brackets are a big thing in March because of March Madness, and it's playing on, like, basketball brackets, but you know, we're doing it late, whatever. We wanted to do one too, so we're doing, it's like horror franchises, and we've been fighting a lot about that, so that's really fun. I have the bracket posted on our Twitter page and our Facebook page if you want to go download it and fill it out and just post it. I don't really know what we're going to do with that. Some of the guys on the website are putting that together, so more details to come on that, but that's a lot of fun. I always enjoy filling those out. I don't know. What else? Do we have anything else going on that's coming up? I feel like maybe not that much other than that.
I'm really excited for some movies coming out.
I am.
In April. There's, Quiet Place.
Quiet Place is, like, just around the corner.
So stoked.
So excited. And I'm hearing decent things about Unsane, so I might go check that one out also.
Yeah, I finally got my MoviePass sorted out, so now I can start using that. I don't know if anybody on Twitter knows about my MoviePass debacle, but I finally have an active MoviePass, and I'm very excited about it. It only took me 6 months.
I'd like to get a MoviePass, but I keep like forgetting to sign up for one, and then I know how long it takes to get them, so I'm like, I don't know if I want to wait. That's a silly reason not to get them.
Worth it, though, yeah.
Because I'm impatient, and that just makes it even longer to wait.
Just get it now, and then you'll have it before you know it.
Also, shout out to our store. I realize that I'm the one buying the most things on our Threadless store, so...
You or me, because I...
Yeah, maybe both of us. I mean, yeah. We definitely have, and thank you to the wonderful, beautiful people who buy our merchandise, but head on over to threadless.com.
Yeah.
And then you can... We have shirts, we have hoodies, we have duvet covers, there's shower curtains, there's really phone cases, there's bags. Really anything your little heart desires, you can get there. So go check it out and throw us a bone. Or go on Patreon, we have a bunch of cool stuff on there too. All right, I'm done. I'm done hollering out all our stuff.
Plug in a plug in a plug in a plug.
Well, I mean, I always forget to mention these things, and we get new listeners, and I don't know if they know about all this shit. They might not. True. It's a very casual episode this week. Yeah. I apologize.
But it's just us talking. We're just talking.
We're just hanging out.
Just want to remind everybody that we need corgi stickers, so if somebody wants to design that for us, I'd be thankful. Corgi stickers.
Corky sticker. Okay, so next week we have Fred B is up. He Woo-hoo. Requested Escape from Tomorrow, which is now streaming on Shudder, if you want to go check that out ahead of time. And then Catlin has requested Coraline, which is a little bit different, which will be fun. That's an animated film. It's on Netflix if you haven't seen it yet. So go check those out. Again, if you want to call and request something, or you want to call and ask us a question or whatever, our phone number is 323-657-3910, or you can email us finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com anytime, but also especially this month, on this, the month of listener requests.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think I'm out.
She's done.
I think I'm done.
What's going on with you? Is anything going on with you?
Oh, fuck, girl. I don't know. I don't even know.
She's really done.
I'm really just done. I just can't.
Fair enough.
It's been a year already. It's just a lot. I don't really have anything. Do you have anything?
I got to go to this really cool Ready Player One maze thing that they had in Hollywood. That was really fun. It was cool because it's like, if nobody's like read the book, it's kind of like about this like dystopian society and this famous video game maker dies, and to inherit all of his money, you basically have to solve all these, like find these three hidden keys. And so this little maze was kind of like a condensed version of that, where you have to go through each thing and you have to find a key before moving on to like the next stage or whatever. But what was really cool is that when you enter the maze, you actually go through the van that like the main character like lives in, and all the stuff in it were like props that were like actually used on set. And that was really, really fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Did you see the movie yet?
No, I'm going to go see it this weekend.
Cool.
And I'm going to that Legion thing on Saturday too.
Oh, what Legion thing?
It's some kind of like art installation. I'm not entirely sure, but it's, here, I'll read you the thing.
But it's Legion, the TV show.
Yes, it's something that FX is doing.
Not Exorcist 3 Legion.
Correct. To some people's maybe dismay. So it's called the Legion Chamber. It's an artistic video installation that allows fans to step into a 360-degree micro theater featuring a one-of-a-kind presentation from the internationally acclaimed Marco Brambilla studio.
Interesting.
Yeah, it says like it's fully entrenched in the hypnotic digital realm of Legion. I'm very excited. I'm not sure what to expect, but I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Very cool.
That's really it. That's all I got.
That's way more than I got going on. Got like Easter egg hunt, I think.
Love it.
I plan an adult Easter egg hunt for my husband's relatives every year. And I stuff the eggs with different like numbers and like instructions, like, you know, freeze time for your for the other players or sit down for 30 seconds or it's just like a bunch of random stuff. And then, you know, they based on the numbers they get, they win different bottles of alcohol. It's an adult Easter egg hunt, Carly.
I love that.
Very exciting. Yeah, that's really all I have going on. I haven't even been watching anything or really anything fun at all. My life is extraordinarily boring right now. Hoping it picks up soon.
It will. It's the weather is getting warmer. Ooh, I went to WonderCon too, and that was a lot of fun.
WonderCon? What did you do in WonderCon?
I mostly just walked around and shopped a little bit because that was the Sunday that we did our live stream. So that was last Sunday. Yeah. And so afterwards, just like stopped by there, went to all the different booths and things. I bought a couple awesome things from the people there. I don't know.
Thank you for the specifics. You bought some things from the people there.
Yeah, it was great. No, I went to Waxwork Records and I got one of their new comics, which comes with a record, which is really cool. There was like a fan or a table for WhedonCon, which I didn't even know was a thing. But they had these amazing shirts that was like Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, but it was like Buffy and the Gentlemen. And it was like starring Buffy Summers as the Slayer. And like it was really cute. And so I was
that sounds amazing. Did you buy that?
Absolutely, I did. Are you
did
kidding
me? Did you buy me one too?
No, because they only had like one shirt left. It was crazy. And it's too big for me. So I have to like.
So it's for me then. Take it down.
They're like, come to the con and we'll exchange it for you. And I was like, I really just want this shirt. Yeah. I'm not coming to the convention. I apologize. I love Joss Whedon, but I love this shirt and I want it. So yeah.
All right. Are we ready to sign off?
We sure are.
Okay. Well, don't forget to watch Escape from Tomorrow and Coraline before next week when that's what we're discussing. And I'm out of wine, or else I'd say Ravenous a bunch more times so we could drink more, but it's all gone.
She's done.
I'm done. That's why the episode's over.
But until next time, or no, so until next time.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye. Bye.
Final Girls Horrorcast is sponsored by Elizabeth, Mikey H, Nick B, Black Cat, Miss Tab, and the OT Gourmet Geek. We are available to stream on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and pretty much anywhere else that you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter at FinalGirlsHC and Instagram and Facebook, just search for Final Girls Horrorcast. We also invite you to join our Final Girls discussion group on Facebook. You can find the link on our homepage.